Welcome back, and thanks for staying with us on She's a Gamer. Joining us the second half hour is Maureen Legg. She is the co-executive director of the Eric Paredes Save a Life Foundation, a nonprofit organization founded by parents who lost their child to sudden cardiac arrest in 2009. Maureen has been with the foundation since 2012, and for more than three decades, she has provided strategic leadership and results-oriented communication campaigns to a variety of organizations and industries. The Eric Paredes Save a Life Foundation started as a client, but she fell in love with the mission, so transitioned to nonprofit management. Welcome to the show, Maureen. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Thank you very much for having us.
You are more than welcome. I had shared with you off air that a friend of mine volunteered at a foundation event that screened students, shall we say, for right now, last weekend, and it came on my Facebook feed, and I thought, I have to hear more. This is a wonderful foundation. You do great work, and I want to give you every opportunity to share some sobering statistics. And I will start with the fact that the statistic, the sudden cardiac arrest, is the number one killer of student athletes and the leading cause of death on school campuses. So if that doesn't get the attention of everyone listening to this show, particularly parents and the student athletes themselves, I don't know what would. So we did talk about the distinction between sudden cardiac arrest and a heart attack. So would you share with us kind of in layman's terms what those differences are?
Absolutely. So heart attack is a plumbing problem. It's about blood flow. And typically as people age, their lifestyle, their eating or their exercise sometimes, and sometimes other heart disease issues happen to clog their arteries, and so the blood doesn't flow correctly. A heart attack doesn't stop your heart necessarily. It can lead to a sudden cardiac arrest, but it doesn't stop your heart. A sudden cardiac arrest is caused by a structural or electrical abnormality in your heart. Sometimes you're born with it. Sometimes it can be inherited from other family members. Sometimes it develops as you grow. And at some point, it's possible that that abnormality will stop your heart suddenly. And at that point, you have minutes to have emergency aid given to regain consciousness and to survive. And unfortunately, in this country, the survival rate is still under 10% for three decades because people just aren't as educated and confident enough to act.
And with that mission in mind, the foundation, and looking at its website, and I will repeat their the domain, which is epsavealife.org. That is epsavealife.org. And there is so much information and opportunity to help your foundation in terms of donating and resources and volunteering and so on and so forth. So I do obviously understand that you're raising awareness of just what you're saying, sudden cardiac arrest in youth and advancing primary and secondary prevention practices. So what are what are some of the warning signs and the risk factors that you have seen firsthand and just know from all of your experience with the foundation?
Sure. Well, there's several aspects to primary prevention. One is to, just as you say, understand the warning signs and risk factors of a potential heart condition. And the number one warning sign is fainting. And, in California, especially, where it's hot and there's a certain aesthetic and there's an uber competitiveness, people think that fainting sometimes is about dehydration or the heat or low blood sugar. But in fact, it is the number one indication. And you should always, always get your child checked if you fainted. And it doesn't necessarily mean it is, but it is one of the indicators, so it's always a good idea to get checked. And in fact, there's a law that we helped pass in California that student athletes who faint have to get re-cleared by a doctor before they can return to play. Other indicators are chest pain. This is somewhat things that are excessive. And obviously, kids, when they work out, people get out of breath, and maybe their chest hurts for a minute, or maybe they feel fatigued. But these are things that happen repeatedly, lightheadedness, dizziness. And especially as a coach or as a parent, if your kid is an active kid, whether they're active as an athlete or just active normally, their body should be building up, not breaking down. So especially for a young athlete, as the season goes on, if the coach or the parent is still recognizing that the child seems to be in distress in some way, you need to get that checked out.
When you are offering these free screenings at various locations throughout San Diego County, what is the percentage of those being screened that actually, alerts somebody to a potential problem with their heart?
Well, we find national studies actually have indicated that 1 in 300 youth has an underlying heart condition. But at our events, we've actually found closer to about 1 in 150 that we find at risk, and we refer them back to their doctor. So at risk means that either through an EKG, which measures the rhythm of your heart, or an echocardiogram, which looks at the structure of your heart, like a sonogram that a lot of people have had with babies, or with present risk factors and warning signs, they are categorized at risk, and we want them to go back to their primary care physician and take a look. And I should just say what I didn't mention in terms of risk factors. If you have a family member that has had a heart problem or unexplained death under the age of 40, and again, referring to our original conversation about the difference between a heart attack and sudden cardiac arrest, back in the day, a lot of people didn't know the difference either, and so they mistakenly called it a heart attack when it wasn't. And then beyond that, sometimes people have family members who've drowned or they've had a car accident, and there just didn't seem to be a reason why. And oftentimes a cardiac arrest will happen during these activities, which causes the drowning or the car accident. Other indicators are overuse of caffeine, like these monster drinks are so bad for you. Performance-enhancing stimulants or supplements, diet pills, things that have this excessive caffeine in them are just not good for your heart.
We also talked yesterday about the imbalance with some, certainly not all, families when it comes to youth sports. And we certainly talked about it on this show on more than one occasion in terms of the focus, the resources in terms of not only financial, but time and travel and this entire cottage industry of the pressure to succeed and advance at, from high school to Division I to the professional ranks. And obviously those percentages get just obviously extremely, extremely slim, but the pressure is still there. So it's great to have you on to kind of shine a really harsh light on where a priority should be as a parent and a student athlete, given that this is the number one killer of student athletes, which is remarkable. And I'm sure that parents listening are thinking, oh my gosh, who knew?
Yeah, well, and I think it's, sudden cardiac arrest is one of the leading causes of death in the U.S. But I think what people don't realize is that it is such prevalent among kids under 25 as well. So, international guidelines suggest kids get a heart screening every 2 years. But in the U.S., we haven't quite gotten there yet. And so a lot of times what people think is if my doctor isn't flagging a problem or not recommending a heart screening, then I'm good to go. And that's just simply not the case because, unfortunately, right now, the protocol just isn't there. So that's why this foundation and many others across the country offer these heart screenings. But what people need to understand, too, is they can have this dialogue with their doctor, and they can ask for an EKG. I mean, it's typically less than $100. You can pay for it on your own. And, sometimes that's daunting without insurance covering it. However, as you just pointed out, a lot of people are investing quite a bit in their child's sports career. Anything from equipment to training to, club fees. This is a nominal charge to make sure that their heart's ready to play too.
So we are speaking with Maureen Legg, the co-executive director of the Eric Parides Save a Life Foundation, and share with our listeners some of the details of the Cardiac Emergency Response Plan in schools that features an automatic external defibrillator.
So the other side of prevention, what we just talked about was primary prevention. The other side is secondary prevention, being ready once a sudden cardiac arrest happens. And there's a couple elements of that. One is the cardiac chain of survival is the easiest way to describe it. Recognizing sudden cardiac arrest. Again, if somebody just suddenly collapses, statistics show that they're in cardiac arrest. They haven't just fainted or and seconds that are spent trying to wake them up or minutes even, to wait for somebody to come and help them is just a disaster. So calling 911, starting hands-only CPR. Hands-only CPR is the new protocol for sudden cardiac arrest. So, you know, people get confused about the breath compression ratio, and then there's the idea of should I have a mouth guard and all the other things that keep people from doing CPR. Hands-only CPR, hand over hand, on a chest, in the middle of the chest, compressing at 100 beats a minute, which is essentially, in our generation, is the beat to staying alive. And the last component is getting your local AED. There's usually an automatic external defibrillator on site. People are mistaken that that's for the EMS to use when they arrive. It is a public access defibrillator. It is there so that the person right there can use it. And people think, oh, I'm not trained. It's actually for a lay person to use. When you open it up and turn it on, it tells you exactly audio prompts what to do, and it's got written directions on where you put the pads, and many machines will just analyze the beat of the heart and deliver a shock if one is not detected on its own. Sometimes you have to push a button, but the fact is the device will never deploy if the person doesn't need it. I think the simplest way to explain it is if somebody's heart has stopped beating, there's just about nothing you can do to hurt them worse, because they are, for all in effect, dead. So any action that you can take is life-saving. Even if you have no AED, giving CPR is a bridge to getting that AED there. Because once a heart stops, that's the only thing that will start it. So if you don't have one, the idea is to keep the blood going until EMS arrives and they bring theirs.
I know on your website that you have some key prevention tools that parents can download. Can you share a little bit about that? And again, the domain, the website is epsavealife.org. That's epsavealife.org.
We do. We have a flyer that we hope that circulates among all athlete team meetings, parent team meetings, that goes over warning signs and risk factors and what to do, everything we just discussed. We have videos that talk about that too, what to do in the event of a cardiac emergency, and how to identify warning signs and risk factors. We also have a toolkit for a cardiac emergency response plan. So if your school doesn't have one, you can champion one on campus and get your administration, your school nurse, your PE and health educators involved in implementing it. And it's this toolkit that has these templates. So nobody's starting from the beginning. They're just taking the templates and adapting them to their school.
And share with us, I do know that you have a free heart screening coming up in February, February 10th in San Diego. And I did kind of reference that there were lots of opportunities for listeners to get involved. And we are obviously speaking in the Coachella Valley, but we certainly aren't far from you in San Diego. And this is a very short drive for a very important cause for any parent and their child. So share some other opportunities that people can reach out to you and how they can help support your foundation.
Sure. Well, we have a screening schedule. We do about six a year. So in addition to February, there's April, one in August, one in October and November. And there's opportunities to volunteer at those screenings if you'd like, and the limited number of spaces, but you can sign up on our website. There's also a local organization, Christian's Big Heart 5K, that has an annual run for sudden cardiac arrest prevention in August, and anybody can participate in that. And then we also do accept donations, and the donations directly support our programs, which are these screening programs, and we purchase and place AEDs and help schools implement cardiac emergency response plans. We produce education materials and videos, the ones I just described, to help orient people and educate them and raise awareness. That's the biggest barrier right now.
So we have been speaking to Maureen Legg. She is the co-executive director of the Eric Parides Save a Life Foundation, and such an important topic, and I really hope to have you back and to hear more about your success and in that you are, I mean, really making a difference, a life-saving difference, which there are very few people who have come on this show in the year we've had it that are doing the significant work that you're doing. So I appreciate the time that you took this morning. And, yeah, so have a great weekend. Go Ducks, go Aztecs, and go Bills.
That's right. All my favorite teams. Thank you for mentioning those.
My pleasure. So we will take a quick break. But before we do, here's an opportunity to serve more than turkey this Thanksgiving. The Galilee Center is launching its Thanksgiving donor drive to serve the Coachella Valley's families in need. Just $25 can feed a family of four for 4 days. Make a difference to many who are forgotten throughout the holidays. Visit GalileeCenter.org. That's GalileeCenter.org. You're listening to She's a Gamer. Stay in the game.